It is good to be here again this morning. I debated whether to do this, but I will. So how many of you think my wife helps me? All right, a few of you. So how much? She does help me a lot, okay? But I'll let you in on a little secret. She finds out what I'm going to preach about on Sunday morning when you find out what I'm going to. She doesn't know what I'm planning to preach this morning, okay? So, yeah, she prays for me in this. I did some reminiscing about when I think back to when we started coming to Bethel and the years that we were here, and then think about how many years. And then when people started coming in this morning, you see it at Strasburg, up until Gerald Nestor Martin moved in, I was about the third oldest person in the congregation. And I come in here this morning, and there's a good many elderly people. I thought about saying a good many elderly people here. And so what I'm going to start with has to do with older people. But young people, you all face the same things. So how many of you young people like to show off to your peers how much you can bench press? Can I see your hands? I used to be pretty good at that. I don't feel the need to show anybody what I can do anymore, okay? First of all, I can't do what I could when I was your all's age back there. Some days it's painful just to bench press my fists. I can do just about anything I used to do. It just takes me longer. I probably can't do it quite as good, but I can still do those things. I want to read a short story from Senior Moments with God. Some of you seniors have probably read these. And the title is This the Beginning of the End? So maybe I ought to fill in some of you that, for some of you that weren't here for years. So our son was 2 years old when we from South Carolina back to Virginia. Well, today he's 40. So it was a few years ago. We've been gone from here for, and so the years add up. Is this the beginning of the end? And this is written by Simon Schrock. My visit with the oncologist was not very encouraging. Soberly riding along, I became apprehensively serious. Is this the beginning of the end? On an airline flight, the usual instructions were given before takeoff. After our seatbelts were securely fastened, the plane was soon in the sky. After the plane was cruising smoothly at the desired altitude, passengers were permitted to unbuckle and move about the cabin. I'll stop there just a little bit. Obviously, he wrote this a few years ago. Because, yeah, in an emergency, you can get up out of your seat, but you're not free to move about on an air flight anymore. Continuing to read, it did not take long till the captain requested passengers to be seated with seatbelts fastened securely. The flight was beginning the descent for landing. Cruising time seemed short until the beginning of the descent for landing. With seatbelts fastened, it seemed like hundreds of miles till touchdown at the Dulles Airport. There was still time to finish the Bible reading for the day. Thank the Lord for His blessing so far, and pray for the wheels to safely hit the runway and roll to the gate. Such flights remind me of the journey of life. From birth to cruising speed, or the prime of life, is such a short time. All too soon, it's the beginning of the decline. Only a short time until the beginning of the end. The Bible says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. When seniors get together, and this is talking about elderly people, not high school seniors. When seniors get together, the conversation often includes things we can't do anymore. I can't get on my knees anymore. I can hardly get on my tractor. I can't remember scripture like I did earlier. I can't split my wood anymore. My wife can't tend to the garden like she used to. In my case, I can't stand on one foot and put the other one behind my head anymore. Now, just getting my socks on is a challenging task. I can't push a cart of choice books up the long ramp at the Pentagon anymore. I don't preach anymore. This sample of remarks by seniors is a reminder that life has gone from cruising to declining. It's the beginning of the descent toward the landing. Leaving the cancer center with disappointing news is a sobering reminder. How shall we then live in a declining stage of life? While there is a long list of what my wife Polly can't do anymore, she reminds me, thank the Lord for what you can do. And she joyfully goes about doing what she can. Her advice agrees with the Bible. The Bible gives believers helpful instructions for our journey. These become sources of grace and encouragement, especially as we start the descent for the landing. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul wrote, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Thank the Lord for what you can do. Jesus left us comforting words of promise and assurance, words that encourage us as we taxi toward the terminal. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Apostle Paul saw a bright eternal future for believers when life is dissolved. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Lord, I need your grace and inner strength to do what I can and to be thankful for what I can still do and not dwell on what I can't. So the title I have this morning is, I Can't, I Can't. You know, it's easy to dwell on what I can't do. It's easy to dwell on the pains and the hurts and all that kind of thing. It's way more profitable to dwell on the things I can do and the positive things in life. I talked to somebody about this. I don't know. I preached this at Bethany. Somebody heard what I was going to preach about, and they said, well, you ought to change your title to Victim or Victor. I didn't change the title, but be that as it may. But it still does add to that statement of I can't, I can. Am I a victim of where I am in life, the situations of life, or am I living in the realization of who I am or who I can be? And so, you fellas that like to show off how much you can lift or how much you can bench press or how high you can jump, one day that'll get to feel that need. I think back to the life I grew up with. Some of you here remember my dad. Some of you don't. But I think about what life would have been like if he would have dwelt on the I can't side of life. You see, my dad's right leg didn't come to his knee. So he had one leg all his life. So what would life have been like if he would have said, you know, I'm just going to sit here and let somebody take care of me. And I've seen some people like that or met some people. So he couldn't walk like other people. Yeah, he got along pretty good. There's a lot of people that never knew that he had a wooden leg all his life. But he did. But he got to where he could use crutches pretty well. He got along pretty good on his crutches as well. He used to race people in the hall in schools. But he could take some pretty good strides with his. He played ball with us. Now, he didn't run the bases. He could hit pretty good. He was pretty good at pitching. I can still. I don't run like my dad did. Because if he wanted to move quicker than what he did in a normal stride, he didn't just walk. He would take a skip and then support himself, and he could get along pretty good. He wasn't dwelling on the I can't. Now, I'm going to back up just a little bit because my dad wasn't a perfect man, all right? He had lots of faults. I inherited some of them, but that's not his fault either. I mean, yes, it's his, but it's not his fault if I let them keep. He couldn't go up and down the stairs like you and I can. You know, we used to like to see how many steps we could take going. If he wanted to go up the stairs, I understood when the therapist told my brother-in-law, up with the good, down with the bad, after a knee replacement. I understood that. So if you have a bad knee, you always go up the stairs with the good one first. You support yourself with the bad one, you go up with the good one. When you're coming down, you go down with your bad one first and support yourself. And so your good knee is the one that does the bending and the carrying of the weight. My dad's left leg was about twice the size of a normal leg. He had trouble getting socks that wouldn't cut off the circulation because he had to do all the work with that one leg. But he didn't dwell on the I can't. I still remember it's a story that we talk about sometimes in our family get-togethers. You see, I'm scared of heights, all right? I'll admit it. I don't want to get very high off the ground. Never did. When I was a young fella, there is a silo down here at the concrete plant at the north edge of Waynesboro, Allied Concrete, that my dad welded the railing around the top of that tower, of that tank. 100 feet tall, one leg, all right? But he welded the railing around that. So we went to visit him one evening before he came home, and we were invited to come to the top of that tower and come down with him. We started up, my sister and I got about halfway up, and my sister just went right onto the top. I sat there and waited for them to come down. He could climb a ladder. How many times have I said I can't do? Some things are not in my DNA, but there are some things I say I can't do that if I really put my... I remember one word that has stuck with me all these years, and that is the word, can I or may I? Y'all still teach that in school, Davey? So if you ask your teacher, can I do something? The teacher says, well, you look to me like you're capable of doing it, but I don't know if you can or not. They wanted us to say, may I? Now, I'm not talking about the difference between can and may. I'm talking about the ability to do some things. Now, I can't write. If I do write, I can't read my... But if I was forced to do it, I probably could. But I'm not a writer. Going back to my dad again. So how do you drive a stick shift with a right leg that doesn't work? And he figured out how to do that. You see, when he would start out, he would get his right leg on the gas pedal and he would scoot himself forward to push the gas pedal. And then when he got it in high gear, he had fastened a extension to that gas pedal that came over with a little foot on it that he could, once he got it going, he could run the gas pedal with his left foot. I can't. Or I can. Some things I think about once in a while. When you go across the bridges on 64 and 6, my dad welded bridge pilings on those when I was growing up. Used to drive a charter bus. I had some parents that came to the bus one time. They had a handicapped child. And they said, well, where's your wheelchair lift? We'd like to bring our son along. And I'm not talking about Wesley's, okay? This was a long time before I knew Wesley's. But said, we'd like to bring our son along, but we can't do it without a wheelchair lift. And that might have been the case. Not too long after that, I had a man show up at the door of the bus on a wheelchair. His legs didn't work. So I didn't know what I was in for. Nobody said anything about him needing a lift. Before I knew it, that man was up the steps and sitting in the seat. You see, he pulled his wheelchair up to the door, got a hold of the hand holds, and manually with his upper body got up them steps. He turned around and he'd scoot up a step at a time. Most people would say, I can't. Not that man. So he got up the steps and he lifted himself up on the seat. His legs didn't work. Some of you might know this next individual, and yes, we're going to get to some more scriptures here in a little bit. This is talking about our thought processes, and when we go through life, things we can and can't do, at least things we think we can or can't do. Now, in the story I read about Simon Schrock, he talked about standing on one leg and putting one foot behind his head. Any of you young guys back here that can do that? So how about getting a cap in your toes and putting it on your head? Can you do that? Why can't you? You used to be able to get your foot up that far. I would just about guarantee you that you used to be able to get your toe in your mouth. Or literally get your foot in your mouth. Have any of you ever heard of Harmless Farmer? All right, a couple of you. It's a man that lost both of his arms in an accident at 2.5 years old. And he just passed away here a few weeks ago. Might be a month or so ago now, I'm not sure. That's the way he put his cap on and off. And he wasn't a young man anymore. He was born in 1969. But he could take his cap on and off with his toes. He drove a tractor trailer. He would take grain to the elevator with 2 feet, no hands. That's the way he drank out of his cup. He had a mug that had a handle on it, and he could drink out of his cup with his feet at 50-some years old. I couldn't begin to get my foot up there today. I can't, okay? But if I would have done it from little up, I might still be able to. And that's what happened with him. So, can you or can't you? And what do you dwell on? Most of you know who I'm talking about when I say Nick Vujicic, or however you say his last name. He didn't have any hands or any feet. Do you know what his slogan was? No hands, no feet, no worries. He's a motivational speaker. Met an Amish man out in Ohio a few years ago that was crippled, restricted to a wheelchair as a teen. I'm not sure how old Ivan Miller is today, but he today is the warehouse manager for Kime Lumber in Ohio. But he says, I have no desire to walk. He said, if the doctors would tell me that I could walk, I wouldn't have any desire. Because he said, trying to see here how he wouldn't trade what he lost for what he gained in life. Joseph Gilmore says, he leadeth me, O blessed thought. O words with heavenly comfort fraught, whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters still or troubled sea, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would place my hand in thine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis thine hand that leadeth me. When my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. The Apostle Paul in Philippians says this, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am, I have no right. Next verse, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So can you or can't you? The Apostle Paul says, I can through Christ. I can't do everything I used to. But that doesn't mean God's not keeping it. Because God will give strength to do everything he asks me to do. God won't ask you to do something you can't do. If God asks you to do something, he'll provide the means that it can be done. 1 Timothy 6 says this, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, God doesn't ask you. never has, and he won't. He asked you and me to do what he asked us to do. Hebrews, he says this, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I can because of Christ. Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, says this in 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. How can you be the strongest when you're weak? Because when you're weak, you realize you can't do it. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, I don't know if you were following along real closely or not, but I left a little phrase out of there that, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses. For what reason? For Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. When we realize we can't do it and put our dependency in. So, I hesitate to say this to the are affected by this too. So, but I'm going to point it at the young people for right now. And the older ones can listen in and think about it. So, young people, what is your response or thought process when the world reminds you that you're missing out on so many things because of where you go to church or your family or this? What's our response? Oh, I can't do that. Why? The church don't allow it. My parents don't allow it. Is that why you say I can't? At a certain stage in life, that's an okay answer. But life comes to a point where you need to have a better reason than I can't do. Oh, I thank God today. Didn't then. But I thank God today for the times that my parents said, no, you can't do that. Well, other young people, and they were. But today, I realize the effects. Yeah, I don't say, no, I can't do this because my parents said you can't do it anymore. See, they're both dead and gone. Choices have consequences. Following the world's direction as to what is fun will often lead to regret. Now, I struggled with that saying often because I just about said will always lead. Yeah, think about that one. I am thankful for what God has provided that is enduring pleasure and that has joy with no regret. Came across the lyrics of a song that was titled, I've Missed Out. We're missing out on the good life, according to men of degree. We're missing out on life's normal pleasures by standards of worldly belief. They say we're too narrow. We should learn to just let go. We're all missing out somehow. When I think of their claims and the pleasures they name, I'll admit I've missed out. The world is concerned that Christians are missing out socially. They say that our stand with a book in our hand is not right politically. They call our conviction religious addiction. They claim that we're all turned around. We cannot deny one thing they got right. It's true, have missed out. And then the writer goes and writes, I've missed out on the heartaches of living my life in sin. I've missed out on the sorrow of facing this world without Him. I have no regrets for things that I've missed because deep in my heart, the truth was and is. Every day that I live, I thank God for. I want to close with the quote at the end of Simon Schrock's article that I read, Lord, I need your grace and inner strength to do what I can and to be thankful for what I can still do and not dwell on what I can't do.